This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female-identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on,
you do as I tell you.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, hilarious, wonderful, and devastatingly smart tech genius co-host. What's her fucking name? Monica.
I don't know. I might have changed my name since the last time we spoke, but I have not. Hi. I mean, that was very friendly and very nice of you to say that. Totally unprompted or anything.
Totally unprompted. There was absolutely nothing happening prior to this recording that made me want to blow your tech horn.
Exactly. How are you doing?
I am a lot. I don't know. This has been like the most busiest day ever. And like that I was broken. And now I'm less broken and slightly more awake because of the laughing fit. So really, like, thank you everyone that came into our Twitch chat and broke me, because you actually lifted my energy levels with all that laughter. So thanks. How are you, Moni?
I'm very well, I think. I'm very not motivated for anything, really. So this is a huge procrastination day for me, even though I did get quite some shit done. But at the same time, I'm also really, it's taking me a lot of time to get to the place of actually doing shit. So procrastination all around.
Procrastination stations.
Yes. I need a really long holiday. I just had a couple of days off, but it wasn't enough.
No, it's not. I'm due another week off, and I was actually thinking about taking it next week. And now I'm like, I don't think I can take a week off next week, but I want to take one somewhere.
Yeah, it's not working the longer you wait for people for it to announce. Like, I know how that goes, because I'm always like, yeah, I can just take next week off. I just don't tell anyone that I take some days off and just try to sneak it in. But it never actually fucking works. So
no, never.
That's just not great. But at some point, we will eventually hopefully figure it out. Maybe not. Maybe never. Who fucking knows?
Who knows? I don't.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. So, life.
Life. This was very philosophical. But today we're not talking about life. We're talking about something else instead.
Yeah. We are finally getting our review episode of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier episode. Did I say episode twice there? It doesn't matter. We're talking about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
We are talking about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Not only one or two episodes, but all six episodes. Well, as much as we can remember from those six episodes, because it's now 3 weeks after or 2 weeks after it happened. So the memory skills are not very great. But there's a Wiki article that we're referring to. So that's what we're doing now.
Yeah, like for past review episodes, we have like had a whole bunch of other opinion pieces and like other facts, like articles and stuff. But I'm like, I actually have a lot to say about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So I just have the wiki up to remind myself about episodes and things that I want to bring up.
Perfect. I never read anything. I just I'm just winging my life.
Yeah, that's fair. Winging it is, you know, that's a legit way to be.
Mood.
Yeah. Okay, so before we go any further, I'm just gonna like say spoiler warning for this, because there's not a lot that I want to talk about that isn't a spoiler for the six episodes of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So if you haven't seen it and you care about spoilers, pause the episode, go binge watch six episodes of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and then come back to hear what we think about it. Spoiler warning out of the way, Moni, I think we have very different opinions on this show.
It could be, because I know that at the beginning we've talked about it and you were like super into it immediately. And And you are not the only one who told me, like, this is so great, this is amazing, first episode, woohoo, and whatever. And then I watched the first episode and I was like, huh. I mean, it wasn't like WandaVision, where I was like, this is the biggest shit I've ever seen. But I was like, okay, I mean, it's a decent series. It's like, but I think because everybody was so freaking hyped about it, I already hyped myself up. And then I was already at a higher bar than everyone else was at the beginning. And then it was like, really, it didn't get to where you were. And I was like, okay, it's nice, it's decent, but I don't see why you think this is so fucking amazing right now. And then I watched it, and then I watched a few episodes, I think two or three episodes every week, like one every week. And then I totally fell off the bandwagon. I was like, at one episode, I just got up, walked around, went to the computer and did some shit while the episode was running. So I wasn't at all paying attention. And I was like, okay, I need to properly watch it then, which I then did. But yeah, it was a good series, but that's it for me. I'm sorry, that's it. You know, like, I don't even think I have a lot of things to say on the series. It's just, it just happened and it exists in my universe now, but that's it.
I have a totally different opinion.
Yes.
than you. Like, I think that this is one of the most important things that Marvel has ever done. It had so many political statements in it. It was like politically necessary.
And that I do agree with for sure.
So much in American like politics, society, culture that like it's just bringing so much to the forefront. Like even things that, you know, it's not just about Black Lives Matter. Like it's not just like, you know, touching on that with like obviously Black Captain America. But there's so much more, and even like things that have been said there subtly or like things that there's not a big deal made of it in the show, but it's so important that they have actually put it into the show. Like it blew my mind how much they were able to do.
Then tell me more what all the things you think that were in there. And yes, I totally agree the way they dealt with all the roles of Black people in history in the US and everything, and the way of how there is in the end now finally a Black Captain America and all of that. That was just great. Like, as I said, all these political statements I found they were great, but the action didn't draw me into it. Like, because other people were like, the action is so great and how much money they spend. And I'm like, is it though? Like, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, but the political statements, I'm totally with you. They were epic. But go ahead. What else you mean and what you talk about?
Okay, well, first of all, I think we really need to acknowledge the most hated character ever. And that is Walker.
Oh, yeah.
And John Walker. Like, immediately, the first time I saw him, I was like,
oh, don't like you. Guy. Yes, me too. Me too.
And I feel like he played such a big role in this as well. Like, not obviously not just as, like, Captain America at the beginning, like, the first, you know, five episodes. Like, he was playing so much more than just the role of Captain America. He was playing, like, you know, the patriarchy. The Republican system in America. He was playing, you know, the military man who, you know, is meddled and has so many achievements, and like that's all he knows. And like he really is like the face of so much of America. Not all of America, but so much of America. And yeah, like as much as I hated him, because second he came on the screen, I was like, that guy, I hate him. And like I saw a lot of people agreeing actually with that on Twitter, and even like a couple of my friends on Facebook were like, oh my god, I hate him. And like then there was a lot of things like, oh, I wonder what's he called, Russell, what's his first name, Wyatt Russell, feels about being the most hated man in America right now. I was like,
the actor.
Yeah. Who's Kurt Russell's son. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I did not. I did actually not know that. Oh, yeah, they have like a lot of children though? Him and Goldie Hawn?
I don't know, but I just know that he's Kurt Russell's son. Anyways, so the first episode, we start out basically with Sam Wilson, who plays the Falcon. or who is the Falcon. He doesn't play the Falcon. And Bucky Barnes, who is the Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. And going back to the end of Endgame, the movie, Avengers Endgame, mm-hmm. We see Captain America giving Sam Wilson the shield. Mm-hmm. Because, like, we all know Captain America, like, went back and spent life, like, where he was supposed to. And, you know, before all the frozen and ice thing mm-hmm. happened. And so he's, like, old and, like, retiring and gave Sam Wilson the shield. And Sam was like, yeah, I don't want this. I'm going to donate it to, you know, the government and put it in a museum because, you know, I think there's only one Captain America and that is Steve Rogers. And the end of that episode is like Captain John Walker coming out as Captain America. And we're all like, oh, hell no. Like, no. And then like this is also while this is going on, we also see Bucky Barnes going through like therapy for, you know, all of the horrible things that he as the Winter Soldier was like programmed to do, murdering innocent people, murdering political figures, murdering, lots of murdering. And we see as well that he's like nurtured a friendship with an old Asian man who has lost a son and like is really mourning his son. Has a shrine, like an altar to him that like he prays at every day, and because he doesn't know what's happened to his son, like he just knows they disappeared. And then we see a flashback of Bucky in somewhere as the Winter Soldier, and like he killed this man's son because he was in like the wrong place at the wrong time. And so like to try to make amends with this man, he like for what he's done now, like that he's not, you know, being controlled as the Winter Soldier, he's like, you know, befriended this man and goes and eats like Chinese food or Asian food of some kind with him like every week, and they like spend time together. And yeah, he's going through therapy, and like his therapist is saying like they've got rules to work through so that, you know, he can try to stay on this some kind of, you know, level of goodness. I don't know if that's the word, but some track of morality. And like then Bucky, of course, is like trying to be very loose with the rules. And then while this is going on, we are introduced to a new group called the Flag Smashers, who are revolutionaries fighting for equality, because after or during the blip, when half the population disappeared, there was a lot of, you know, people moving around and getting houses and like enough food for everyone. And then like after Endgame and all the people came back, then all those people were displaced and put into, you know, refugee camps. And like really, well, they were displaced and treated quite horribly. And so there is a group of people called the Flag Smashers who have, we see like they have superhuman strength, and we're like, oh, how did they get superhuman strength? Like, where'd they get that super serum? And yeah, so they become like the enemy of the series. But like, really, were they the enemy? So sorry, there's a lot of elements here, and I'm just like, I don't even know where to start with this because there's so much that I want to fucking talk about. Like, do you have anything to say?
No, I'm just listening to you tell the episode story.
Okay. So yeah, so we have that. Like, it was a pretty, like, chill kind of intro episode. Like, we're introduced to the main players, and we're introduced to, like, there's a little bit of violence with the flag smashers, and, like, people are like, oh, no. Just like that. That was the whole reaction.
That was the whole reaction.
The total reaction, yeah. So then, like, we fast forward and to the next episode where we meet another man who was given the super soldier serum. Oh my God, that's a tongue twister. Super soldier serum back in the same days that Steve Rogers was. And Bucky Barnes takes Sam out there. And this man is a black man who was experimented on by the U.S. military, you know, to figure out the volume, the calibration, the, I don't know, figure out how the super serum is worked, works. And he was imprisoned, he was experimented on, and he was really treated, I think, like, not that I have the personal experience, but like I think many, many Black Americans and Black people throughout the world have been treated historically, especially when it comes to medical experiments. And his pain and his response to, you know, Bucky and Sam approaching are so evident, and he just wants nothing to do with it. He's blocked it out of his life, and like he's closed that door, but the pain has always stayed there with him. And it was really, really heartbreaking to see that interaction, that first interaction, because like Sam is of course angry with himself because he has given the shield to the government who gave it to John Walker, and he was like, oh, that's not what the fuck was supposed to happen. So he's, you know, saying like, oh, maybe I should have kept the shield, blah, 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 blah. And Isaiah, who is this, one of the original super soldiers, the Black man, he was like, you know, nobody wants a Black man to hold this shield in America. Like, this isn't our America. And is like, you know, trying to discourage Sam from even considering it, because he's like, that's not your shield. Why do you want to fight for them? They've done nothing good for you.
Mm.
So yeah, there's that like whole element there as well. And yeah, do you have anything yet?
I mean, they start off this entire story with Isaiah, where they just like meet him first, and then in the last couple of episodes, like they meet him early on in the series, and then Sam goes to him again without Bucky towards the end of the series, and they talk about it again, and exactly what you says is happening, like in between the first encounter where Isaiah doesn't really want to have anything to do with them, and like runs them out of the house and say, get the fuck out of here, he's not interested in anything whatsoever, and he has been hurt enough. We don't really know a lot of his story yet. We know that he was this super soldier too, that and Sam also thinks that he was a super soldier and just nobody talked about him, but and then we don't know anything further, and he just seems like really rude that he doesn't want to get involved at all. And then after that, there are a lot of things happening between the beginning basically and then the story, when we actually find out what happened to Isaiah through his life, and that he only tells Sam when they're alone, and when Bucky isn't watching, so they have this conversation together basically, as because Sam then is sitting there and considering to take his shield up on his own because of reasons that we haven't talked about yet.
Mm-hmm. So Bucky and Sam are joining forces, I wouldn't say happily. I'd say that Bucky just kind of keeps on showing up to Sam, being like, why'd you give the shield up? But, and Sam's like,
I mean, they kind of started to work, like Bucky and Sam start to work together because of the flag smashers that you've been talking about. So they have these flag smashers on their radar, and the new Captain America and his colleague also have the flag smashers on their radar. So both kind of go for these flag smashers individually to kind of figure out what the fuck has been going on, because Sam has already been working with people in the government to resolve certain issues. And so he gets information from the inside from one of the people he's been working with. So he's obviously, because he's a hero for too, and he's like, he's committed to the cause in a way, he's obviously trying to go after him. And Bucky, because he's so fucking annoyed with him, and he also because he wants to help, they work together, even though they can't really, I mean, they do like each other, but they have this amazing banter going on. That's something I really enjoy.
Frenemies? They might be frenemies.
Frenemies, yeah. I mean, yeah. In reality, they're friends who just diss each other, which is basically like all the people that we know.
I think towards the end, yes, but I think at the beginning, I don't actually think they liked each other all that much. The only thing they had in common was their relationship with Steve Rogers.
I do, and I think I'm not sure if I agree with that. I do think they probably liked each other. Yeah, Taunt is rivals for Steve Rogers' affection. And I feel that the conversation they had when the therapist was there was really telling about what is actually going on and what the reason is, why there was this perceived hatred going on. I do think they always liked each other, you know, in a different, maybe not like as they liked each other at the end of the thing, because there was the only friendship that they had left was their own, and between before that there was this friendship that each of them had with Steve Rogers, and maybe something that was on the side where they were kind of connected to it. So I don't think they didn't really not like each other, but the fact that Sam gave up the shield, I think that affected Bucky so much that caused a bigger issue in their relationship, and not that they initially didn't like each other. Because I do think they liked each other. They not that they were big friends, but that they liked each other. But because Bucky was so worried that, because Steve entrusted the shield to Sam for him to be the next Captain America, and Sam said that's not something he wants to do, he can't do this, and he gave the shield away. And Bucky was afterwards worried that when Steve is wrong about Sam, he can also be wrong about Bucky. And so maybe because he was also struggling with his PTSD and with all the things he did in the past. So that seemed to be the one of the few things that kept him kind of sane or grounded in a way. So I do think he was merely worried, and he said that too in that conversation that they had with his therapist and in the prison, basically, that's the reason why he's so annoyed with Sam, because if he misplaces the trust that Steve gave Sam, also maybe Steve's trust in Bucky was wrong. And so I think that's a bigger reason that caused the rift in their initial relationship. Not that they, yeah. So I don't think that they hated each other, because if you don't like each other, there is indifference is worse than hate. And they weren't, they hated, and you can only hate someone if you have emotions towards them. So I think there was a connection there, and that's why it seemed like they didn't get on very well.
Yeah, that's very true.
And they weren't indifferent towards each other. They were both like really invested in this entire, like super annoyed with whatever the other person was doing. So I think there was this relationship going on, and this relationship might have been based on the thing that both of them had going on with Steve Rogers, because obviously Steve was important for both of them. And yeah, that's why I think that was something they had to get out of the way, which they did throughout the series. And that was like really, really nice to see. And that banter, I just generally really enjoyed.
Oh yeah. The two of them together are just wonderful. Like, yeah. I think that I can't even like fault anything to do with that. Like the chemistry between them is one of a kind. Mm. Like it's phenomenal. I would watch them like painting a room together.
Yeah, I was just thinking that I don't even need this entire action shit that they're going, like the flying through helicopters and shit. I just if there would be more of the things, because that was something where that was the first part in, I think it was in the first episode, where I was like, oh, this is really nice. Like I like the two of them together. I do like them a lot, but the all the action elements I wouldn't have needed. So I think that it was more the action elements that took a lot away from me, and the for me in the fighting, and not that I don't like action movies, but I kind of took away from a lot of the topics that they have been talking about in the series in a way.
Yeah, but I think like a lot of political shows, things that are like quite important, need to have that element of action and fighty for other audiences, maybe not necessarily like you pick up on like the political, like conversation, the banter and everything, but like other people don't
vibe
super well with that and prefer like to have it with the action scenes. Anyways, I think it was a really well done show the entire way through. So yeah, we're going to fast forward. Sam and Bucky break out Zemo from prison in Switzerland, which, yes.
I need to say something about Zemo.
Okay.
Zemo, the actor who plays Zemo, is Daniel Brühl. He's German. And the fact that, number one, he kind of plays this, I don't know why he gives me Russian vibes, I found super hilarious. But the thing is, Daniel Brühl is when I was 16 or 17, he played in a movie that was called Goodbye Lenin. And the fact that you see a German actor in a Marvel movie was just blowing my fucking absolute fucking mind. He was not only there for just a split second like he was in the previous Marvel movies, but he was actually a role in the series. And I've seen Goodbye Lenin when I was a kid, and the connection that you see this German actor then in a big picture movie like Marvel series was just, I was so filled with secondhand pride because I saw the guy there.
It's amazing.
Which, just because you know you see him in a German movie and the movie is really nice, but you never really think that a lot of German actors make it in Hollywood or even into a Marvel movie, but he did it, and then I was like, this is fucking amazing. I am so excited to have him there, and that he's doing a really good job as well. Like, he was really good at it too, so that was just really cool. So never mind, go ahead, Simo.
Nothing to never mind about that. I think that's awesome, and I'm glad that held that kind of representation for you there. Mm-hmm. Like, being like, hell yeah, there's a German on this. Like, yeah, fantastic. Like, I think that's great.
Not this, Tom, not Hail Hydra.
We do not Hail Hydra in these parts. So yeah, they break him out of prison where he's been for like a long time. Is it a Swedish or Swiss prison? I think it is. And they break him out because they're kind of working against Walker and Lamar, who's his like second in command. And they can do things that the American government doesn't allow because they're free agents. Etc. Yeah, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, they just didn't like Walker in general, and obviously because he took up a role that they didn't want to be, that they didn't want anyone to have at that moment. So he was just generally one of the number one bad guys. Well, not even number one bad guys, but they didn't want him there, so they just didn't work together with him at the beginning, mm-hmm. at least.
Yeah, for sure. But they broke Zemo out because he is an expert on understanding the super soldiers and the super soldier serum, and they thought that if there was anybody that could help understand the flag smashers and like where they got this serum from, it was him. Mm-hmm. So then they go to Madripoor, which is this criminal sanctuary city island that's somewhere far away, and Zemo takes them on his private jet because he got Bucks Deluxe, and yeah, they find themselves in this like criminal seedy space run by the power broker to find out more about how the flag smashers could have gotten the super soldier serum. And yeah, they meet up with an old friend, Sharon Carter, who is there as a fugitive on the island, and she helps them track down the scientist, Dr. Wilfred Nagel, who admits that the serum had been stolen from them, and then he's killed. The scientist is then killed, which is unfortunate for everyone. And yeah, so Sam promises Sharon Carter that he's going to get her pardon from the U.S. government. And yeah, then like a lot of this was probably, for me, this is probably one of the slower episodes, but also it was really good as well. But if I was to say, like, if I was to rank them, this would be probably the number 6 for me. But yeah.
The power broker episode. It was very confusing too, to be honest. Like, I don't think I got this. I only, now that you mention it, I made a connection in my head because that totally passed me by. Like, that explained so much at the end of the series. I was like, oh, I just had this epiphany moment now that I didn't have when I was watching the series, because once again, I don't think I didn't pay enough attention.
Yeah, I get that. And then so we also see in this episode, like, the flag smashers are interrupting and bombing the Global Repatriation Council, who are holding a meeting, we're going to use that word because I can't think of another word, to talk about the displaced refugees and what they were going to do with them. And so they're bombed. And yeah, because Zemo killed King T'Chaka from Wakanda, then the Wakandans are there to apprehend him, and Bucky and Sam are like, no, don't do that, we need him, like he's not just that, we didn't break him out for no reason, we broke him out because we actually, you know, need him. And yeah, so it was pretty awesome seeing Zemo get his ass kicked by the Wakandans.
I generally just that love was the great Wakandan army in general.
Yeah,
they're all such badasses, I love them, just great
badass women. Always here for it. Yeah, it was, I enjoyed that scene a lot. I just really like seeing women kicking ass in action movies. Like, it kind of turns me on a lot. And, like, there's nothing hotter.
Oh, that's I thought that the sentence was going to continue, but okay. I mean, that's fine.
No, that's it. There's nothing hotter, period. Full stop.
It makes sense, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Flag Smashers are led by Carly Morgenthau, and she's this revolutionary who wants to, you know, create equality and equity for the displaced people, of which she was one of them. She was still around after during the blip. And now that they're all displaced, she's like, no, we can't go back to how we were before. There needs to be a better way. There needs to be a more equal way. Walker and Lamar are trying to basically kill her and the rest of Flag Smashers, whereas Sam is trying to like talk her down and be like, make her realize like why what she's doing isn't the best course of action, and like saying like there's a better way to do this. And I thought that this was really reflective of police brutality and the policing service, and not just America but a lot of the world as well, because like the call to, you know, defund the police is to take the money away from the people that just go bang, bang, shoot, shoot first, ask questions later, and put it into community services that are there to support mental health, or there to support like social services, social justice, women's aid, you know, going in there and trying to find solutions rather than just like going in for, you know, death in jail. And I use that order on purpose. And I thought that like, them talking about this in, you know, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier was big. It was important because like there's so many people that, you know, are camp Blue Lives Matter, that like don't understand the point of, you know, defunding. So seeing Sam talking to her and explaining like there's a better way, like we can work together, we can figure this out together, you know, I thought it was also a really important thing to highlight, even though it wasn't like, you know, flat out talking about police brutality and blah, blah, blah. It was like, you know, very much in the context of the show. And I thought it was really relevant and, yeah, super important.
I do like that you put it into the context of police brutality, for sure. I also think it's Sam Wilson generally had the role of the mediator. Like, I feel he's the epiphany of... there is not only one or the other way. And it's so often in the world, it's just you can have only this opinion or the other opinion and nothing else is in between. So it's so often black and white. But he was there and he was openly advocating for there is a compromise possible. And even in this situation where everything seems so hopeless because you are out there violently killing people, and I still see that where you're coming from, and we can find a way on how to do that and how to negotiate a way out of this without it having to be violent. And I do think that so often in so many conversations, there is, this is my opinion and this is the only right one. And other opinions just don't really matter in that moment. So I feel he's just the epiphany in this series, for sure, in so many ways, on how to make shit work when it seems impossible, because mm-hmm. the same thing is happening with the boat of his parents, where they like his sister is like, we need to sell this, and he's like, we can get money for this, I can get a loan, and then he is the superhero as a black person, he can't get a loan because where is his money coming from? Is he getting paid or how does it work? But because he doesn't have anything, also he was bleeped away for 5 years, so he has no records, so he doesn't get money from the government that he's been helping, or from banks that he's been helping and keeping safe in his endeavors, basically. And he's still like, one, how can we make this work? He's not giving up. He's just a mediator in a way, like mm-hmm. the connecting two sides that seem so against each other. And I feel that is really, and that's also what we saw him shine in at the very end, to be very honest.
Mm-hmm. And as Tom says in chat, the bank manager turning down the loan, but then asking him for a selfie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the epitome. Like, I can't give you money, but you're famous, so
yeah,
pick it up.
Yeah.
So yeah, it all comes to a head here in episode 4. The whole world is watching when there is the John Walker and Lamar are trying to work with Sam and Bucky to like calmly bring down the Flag Smashers, and like. John Walker is getting more and more agitated as like Sam is in there talking to her, and they had agreed like on 10 minutes or something that Sam would have to like smooth things down and calm things down, and but John was like, no, I'm in charge here, and like just gets more and more and more agitated, and it was really sad, and it was also really painful to watch at the same time, him like being talked down by Lamar and Bucky, and then like him talking himself back up, like, no, I have to go in there, I have to go in there, I have to take charge of the situation. And of course, because taking, quote unquote, taking charge of this situation and going in and interrupting and breaking the trust that Sam has been building with Carly results in a fight with like most of them having super soldier serum. Yeah, there was a point, totally didn't bring this up, where John Walker got the super soldier serum.
That was also such a small moment where I was like, did that happen? I wasn't sure until the very end if he really got it or not, but I suppose he did. So
he did, because Zemo broke them all except for one vial which rolled out of the way, which John Walker just happened to find and was like, oh. And then he asked Lamar, would, if you had the chance to take the super soldier serum, would you take it? And Lamar was like, in a heartbeat, think of all the, like, you know, your best aspects of yourself and your strength amplified. And so then John Walker takes it.
John Walker is an interesting character in this show in general. Like, I had the same reaction to you when I saw him at the very first time, where I was like, you are a fucking asshole. I already don't like you. Go away. Ew, right? And then you saw him in this in the few couple of episodes after, and as I then usually do, because that's what I do in life, even I don't necessarily always listen to my first instinct, so I'm like, he's not too bad, right? Like, he's not, like, you see him, all the good things he's done, like, he's been put in a position that he doesn't necessarily want to do. He's like always been like working for the military, he's always been there for his country, and he gets this position of power, not only of power but of responsibility, right? And he also
visibility,
yes. So and this is a lot of pressure. Like, I don't think necessarily he started out being like this asshole that we all thought he was because of the way he was coming out of there, but I think he was genuinely out there trying to do some good things, basically, and doing it because what he's done throughout his entire life, fighting for his country and being patriotic as he is, and trying to bring good in the world. But because of the visibility and the responsibility and the pressure that comes with it, I don't think he was ready for that pressure there. And Lamar, his friend and colleague, he was supporting him morally also through it, and was his
voice of reason.
Voice of reason, and his northern star in a way on how is, if he's okay with it, then it should be okay. But it also means Lamar thought very highly of him, right? So I do think he was genuinely a good person, even though we all hated him. And that was also deliberate from Marvel. I'm 100% convinced about that too. Mm-hmm. So that we all initially just hate the guy. And then the fight happens that you talk about. And there is a hardcore collateral damage, basically.
Yeah. Carly accidentally kills Lamar. And I do believe that that was an accident.
I do think so, too.
That's what happens when super soldiers get all amped up and push somebody who's not a super soldier and they die. And it's very sad. But then, like, that death was actually very sad because I thought Lamar was, like you say, he was a really good guiding light for John. He was a great character.
Mm-hmm.
So John Walker just loses his friend, his confidant, the person that he, like, has been through training with, like, since the days of basic training. And, like, he absolutely like loses it and he goes after Carly to kill her for killing his friend and doesn't succeed in killing her but does kill one of the Flag Smashers, which we're like, okay, well, maybe, okay, except it's in a crowd of bystanders who all witness him literally decapitate this man with
we don't
the
really
Captain
know
America
do
shield.
We but he definitely kills the guy, but we don't really know how, but it's brutal.
It's decapitation. He's like at his neck with the shield. Like
I thought he was
going to
crash it in his chest bone. That's what I thought.
No, it was totally decapitation.
Anyway.
And then like the episode ends with like that chilling scene basically of John Walker with the Captain America shield with the blood dripping off of it. And it is fucking bone chilling. Like...
Yeah, and everybody watches, and of course, social media, everybody broadcasts it everywhere. So the world saw that he killed a person in public, like in public, basically.
Mm-hmm. And it was such a emotional murder as well, like an emotional killing. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't something like, you know, that you do in war, whatever. It was like there was so much emotion and passion behind it that it was...
Mm. And also the person, the dark side of America taunts us in chat, violence and revenge. Yeah, it was a vengeful death, a killing, basically murder. And the person, the guy who he killed, he also was like, it wasn't him and I don't know where she is. And he was defending himself and you could see that he was like fearing for his life. He wasn't one that was, he wasn't attacking him, was trying to flee and he was trying to run away. But Walker just didn't give a shit and killed him, basically.
Yeah. So in our next episode, we have Walker at a trial to determine his fate in the U.S. military. And he not only is discharged, he's receives an other than honorable discharge, which means that he is stripped of his ranks, stripped of his medals, and no longer has any financial support from the military, including his pension. And
they take everything away from him.
They take literally everything. And John Walker, of course, is outraged at this because he was serving his country. And this is, you know, that's what he was trained to do. And they say like, well, I can't remember what they said to him, but like that was just like, this is the sentence that they have decided other than honorable discharge. And Walker says, how can you do this? I'm paraphrasing. How can you do this? You have taught me to do this. You have built me up to do this.
Mm.
And now you're taking it away from me without any support.
Mm.
And like this show is so important, not just because of Black Lives Matter, but because of the support for the military.
Mm.
Like, and it's the same in Canada. And I have friends that have gone through this. They train these people. They train these men and these women to fight and to take lives and to, you know, do all of this in the name of their country. And then they come back from war and they have PTSD and they don't know anything else. They don't know what to do. And there is no support. There is no mental health support. There is no therapy. There is no financial support. Like, there is nothing. And like, it's heartbreaking. It's so heartbreaking. And like, seeing somebody in this role in this TV show like the Falcon and the Winter Soldier going through this, and it's different, but it is the same narrative that is happening to so many people in this world, in America, in Canada, who go through this, like so many military people who literally, like, this is real life. Like, this is exactly what's happening. And like that lack of financial support, that lack of mental health support, like it takes lives. It hurts lives. It needs to be better.
Yeah. Especially because I think you see it so well with Walker, because that's all he knew. That's all he knows. That's all he knew. And now he made a mistake, which is obviously, I mean, you don't accidentally kill someone, but he doesn't, he gets trained to do this and he's doing it. And then he gets, everything gets taken away from him, which it should have, like, of course it should have, based on whatever has been going on. But I can totally, in that moment for sure. But I, yeah, it's just proof again that there are no proper measures in place, no proper structures in place, nothing in place for people to not fall into all of that.
Mm-hmm. And like it really goes to show that, like, it doesn't matter what political side you're on, like there's no good that can come out of so much bad.
Mm.
Like, whether it's the military and war and the lack of support there, whether it's police brutality, whether it's, you know, generations and centuries of racism, systemic racism, whether like it affects every single person.
Mm.
And I think it was really vital that they showed this from so many different sides, the power struggles and the violence and the lack of support that affects every walk of life.
Yeah. After his hearing, Walker is approached by a woman. She is called, what is she called?
She's called Contessa Valentina Allegra de Fontaine.
And she said, call me Val or don't call me Val or something like that.
Something like that.
And she is confusing me. And I think I might have missed something, but I don't know. She basically gives him a card and says, I'm going to call you. And when I call you, you're going to be there and we're going to do shit. And she's a bit bonkers and that's pretty cool. Like, she's a really badass vibe, but also kind of like, you're terrifying. But she gives him hope in a way.
Mm-hmm. She does. And I don't know a lot about her story because I haven't read the comics. But from what I've been hearing through like social media is that she is one of like super evil people in the Marvel universe. And
I saw a tweet and I was like, before I saw the episode, obviously, because you're not safe when you haven't watched it immediately. So I have an assumption, but you don't see it in the show because I was like, okay, they say that's that. And I'm not going to say it now because who the fuck knows if that's true. But in the series itself, it's not mentioned. So you wouldn't really know who she is. I don't really know who she is except that she's potentially someone evil. Taunt says, he believes she's in Black Widow or was supposed to be, and because that wasn't coming out yet, so we don't know her. So that was like,
it was supposed to be out last June, so we,
yeah,
in theory should have known her.
Okay. But that means we'll get to know her pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. During the trial, Sam takes the Captain America shield back to his sister's house and decides that he's going to become Captain America. He's going to do it, and he's going to do it without a super serum because that's how he believes, like, that America can, I don't know.
I think he struggles a lot, but until he comes to the decision that he's really going to do it, he definitely takes the shield and he walks off. And then is the conversation that we talked about in the beginning, where he goes back to Isaiah, who has the super serum or who got the super serum, and talks about him because obviously he's a black guy. And Isaiah already said, nobody fucking gives a shit about a black Captain America. You can do this. And then he goes back to Isaiah and they have a conversation, and he asks him about why he didn't why he did not do what he did or what happened. And then we hear Isaiah's entire story, that he was basically this guinea pig that they used because he was the only one from a few, from a line of people who got the super serum, who were still alive and who developed similar skills to Steve Rogers. Really close.
Mashup I want to see.
Yep.
Chris Evans is Captain America.
I mean, he is. But anyway.
He is, but like without Steve Rogers. Like, it's just Chris Evans is Captain America.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's one of the good Chris's. I'm here for that too.
Yeah.
And then he tells him that basically he's been used as this guinea pig. They did all these tests on him because he was the only one who was alive. And not only did they do that, they basically erased his entire history. They claimed that he's dead. They claimed that he wasn't alive anymore, and basically stripped away everything from him that he and now he's living with his grandson. Was it his grandson?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because his wife was also not there anymore once he came out of this entire horror shit show. And and he says, nobody gives a why the fuck would you as a black person stand up for a country that has treated you like shit? And that's what he says to Sam Wilson. And why the fuck would anyone even want to do that? And basically tells him not to do it for all the obvious reasons and for all the experiences that he had in his life as a potential super soldier.
Mm-hmm. But I think that just encourages Sam more to do it, like not in spite of, but because of how Isaiah was treated, how all Black Americans are treated, to make a difference for the country, for the world, I guess. And yeah,
it's really hard to say what then kind of made him change his, because you see him struggle for a good while. Should he do it? Should he not do it? He didn't want to do it initially. That's why he gave the shield away. So why should he be doing it now? And what, how, and then he decides to, get his parents' ship in order first. Like, that's not, he has this plan. He has a shield. He talks to Isaiah, but then he takes this break where he's renovating this ship that he didn't get a loan for. He's cashing in all the good favors from people that his parents did so much for, that he did so much for, and everybody helps them to get this up and running again, to have this to have a proper working fishing boat. And he sees his nephews play with a shield. No, he did. He doesn't. Bucky saw them.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind.
That was really cute
scene. That was really cute. That was a really cute scene.
Yeah.
But I think because of all these people coming together, and because of the way he has always been like this mediator person, and seeing that you can build things and create things, even though you don't have the money and you don't have the power, you can still have people come together and create something amazing. And I think that might have been one of the things that kind of pushed his final straw into, he's gonna do it, and he's gonna try and work the shield, and he's gonna get as fit as he possibly can to be able to work this shield. And yeah, he's doing it.
And can we all take I don't know, an 8-minute Falcon and Winter Soldier montage of how he's doing it, and just appreciate the scene for what it was?
You mean that he's just very fit and very hot, and it's great to look at while he's training to be like the Captain America too?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good looking human. Pfft, would always mm-hmm. watch good looking humans do great things.
Yeah. A little bit of respite from quite a serious episode.
Yeah, that's true.
Just say that. So in the meantime, I mean, this whole episode actually was delightful. Like, after I was crying about like John Walker being abandoned by the government, because yeah, I did cry at that just because it was too real for me. But the whole scene with like Bucky coming down to the boat and like all the neighbors pitching in to help rebuild the family boat, which we haven't mentioned at all, so hopefully you've seen the show so you know what we're talking about. Like, I just thought the whole thing was so heartwarming. Like Bucky, the neighbors, the family, the community being there, and then Sam still like being down there, and then the scene and Bucky staying over and the nephews, and oh, it was just wonderful. It was a great scene. Bucky brings a briefcase from Wakanda for Sam. That's like a really important moment.
Yes,
we don't
see
what's in the briefcase.
No, and we don't really know that it's really important until a bit further in, or at the end of the episode, or at the beginning of the next, something like that.
The beginning of the next, where the Flag Smashers are going to be, or are disrupting another GRC meeting in, I guess, New York. I think it's New York, is it?
Mm.
Not sure.
Yeah,
100% sure.
It is in New York.
And we see Sam and Bucky and Carter, who's in New York as well, organizing efforts to like apprehend the Flag Smashers, and like it's all like going pretty well. They all have their roles, and then like freaking Sam Wilson smashes into the windows in New York City in like all his brand new Captain America flight suit, because he's still the Falcon, but now he's also Captain America. Like,
So
it was awesome. I literally was like, oh my God.
I was so distracted. I was so distracted by the shithead piece of this fucking Captain America costume. I couldn't appreciate the entirety of it, because I was like, what the fuck did they do with these fucking glasses and this shit fucking neck piece? It looks so shit. But other than that, it was a great moment, because he had like the Falcon wings and he had the shield, and he was just out there Captain Americaing his way through New York, which was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do agree. I thought that the headpiece was a bit weird. It was like had this, it almost like a wetsuit material, like around the neck and like up the sides of his face, and I was like, that part looks really weird, but the rest of it looks so badass.
That really does. Again, the rest of the suit looks amazing. It's just the fact that it's like, you know, when in The Incredibles they tell you that the cape is really bad for superheroes, this fucking shit piece in the neck and around the ears for Captain America is also fucking useless for superheroes. Like, I get that he needs to wear glasses because he's flying in the fucking air, but he doesn't need... What is this? What is this fabric protecting his neck from? Nothing?
Windburn?
I don't fucking know. But it's useless and it looks shit and the quality is shit. It's not even a metal piece of some sort. It's like literally this plastic fabric that you can have on trucks or whatever. And it just looks really fucking shit compared to the other thing.
It does look really bad, but it can't be metal because you need to move your head and your neck around when you're flying through the air.
Iron Man can do that too. That's not an excuse.
Iron Man has a whole helmet.
Yes, but I mean, we talk about Stark technologies are possible in this universe. So it's possible to create something better than this fucking plastic piece.
I agree. I didn't think that looked very well.
No, sorry.
And I would like to say that Chad is being wonderful, as usual. Monica asked, what is it protecting? And Tom says, neck kisses. And Tom says, insects? Drag? Like, don't cyclists have head things?
They have a helmet. And,
thanks, everyone. It's just delightful, delightful. So yeah, obviously, Captain America with wings.
Yes.
Captain America and Bucky win, because that's what happens. They are the side of the superheroes. There's no, you know, despite the Flag Smashers having maybe moral standing and doing what they're doing for the right reasons, of course they don't win, despite a whole bunch of shit going down. But I think what's a scene that was interesting was that Carly Morgenthau and Sam run into each other, and then also Carter is there, Sharon Carter is there, and Sam has to leave to save the senators or the GRC or whatever, and Carter shoots Carly Morgenthau, but not before it comes out that Sharon is not only the person who gave the Flag Smashers the super serum, she's also the power broker.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. Or we will find out in future Marvel.
Yeah.
What that is, like, how significant that is. But
also the fact, and Tom also mentioned that in chat before, the fact that she's also called Carter, I also immediately thought, Carter? Are you related to Peggy Carter? Or what the fuck is going on? Because Peggy Carter was the first kind of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. No, Peggy Carter is Steve Rogers. Maybe she's the daughter of them.
Ooh.
Because, I mean, listen to my theory here.
Okay,
I haven't read the Peggy Carter is the one. Well, okay, grandmother, maybe. Okay, Peggy Carter is the one that Steve Rogers left behind until he went back to be with her. She was also, like, created S.H.I.E.L.D. basically, and was already kind of one of the first kind of agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Do it because, and there's also a series, Peggy Carter and Agent Carter. You should watch it if you haven't yet, because that she's series. Badass. Oh, yeah. And Tom says granddaughter in the comics. So, yeah. That's a bit shit then, that she's evil. Maybe she's not evil. Let's hope she's not evil. She seems pretty evil right now.
She does.
But yeah.
She does.
So could be.
Because at the very end, like in the extra scene, Peggy, her name is not Peggy, Sharon's pardoned as per Sam's promise. And is like rejoining the CIA where she was before she was excommunicated. I say excommunicated, I don't know why, before she she got sent away. And she says that she's intending to use it to sell government secrets and resources. And we're like,
ooh. Yeah. Yeah, it's not great. I am pretty upset because I like the actress. And I'm like, no, don't be evil.
I mean, she might not be evil.
Yeah, she might.
America's got a lot of secrets that are maybe best as public knowledge.
Yeah, I don't know. She seemed pretty evil. But I mean, then again, we have some other evil person, potential evil person too. So who the fuck knows? I mean, and she also just randomly killed Morgenthau. So I'm like, you don't seem like
that was good so that human. Her identity didn't come out, or the fact that she was the source of the super soldier serum.
I don't know.
Can you say that for me? Do you have as much trouble?
Super soldier serum?
Does it tongue your tie?
English tongues my tie. Ties my tongue. English tongues my tie. Wow. Please don't have anything tongue your tie, people. It doesn't sound great. And not in this panini.
So, yeah. We kind of see the end here. And Bucky has his whole redemption arc, and he goes to the Asian man whose son he killed and atones and tells him that he was the reason, or he murdered his son, and like has that moment of closure and redemption, I think is the key word there, and closure for both of them.
I think it's so interesting to see in this arc that it's not always just it's not. And his therapist, I think, said, or somebody, I don't remember who said that in a way, that it's not always about, just because you want to do something right doesn't mean just because you help someone out every way you can that that's going to bring you peace. But it's about owning up to your mistakes, that's going to bring you peace, even if it means that a relationship that you tried to build on that won't exist anymore. But the most important thing for your own peace is that you own up to your shit, basically, and with the consequences, and deal with the consequences that come after that.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think finally we need to talk about Captain America's soliloquy with the GRC at the end, because it was, I don't know, I think it should be immortalized, and it was necessary conversation, even though it was one-sided. Like, it was a speech, and it was a speech that we all need to really know.
Yeah, the speech was, and we've started it at the beginning too, that Sam's role was always the one of the mediator and trying to bring things together, and that's what he did. Like, he owned that role even more now as Captain America than he did before, even, and he was already doing an amazing job before that, but now he's like, that is... And I feel people, he walked out, he stood there, and he was owning this role of Captain America the way he can. It was not about recreating something that Steve Rogers had done, or imitating something Steve Rogers has been doing. So that's why he has his own suit. He has his wings still. He's doing what he's doing. And what he's doing is mediate and getting involved and having an opinion. And that's not necessarily always something that Steve Rogers did, because he was like very patriotic and very, very, very for what is right for the country and for him in a way. Sam was just out there being all, listen, you need to listen to both sides again. That's the reason why they've been doing it. You can't do whatever you plan on doing now because of all these reasons. And I mean, the good thing is that the people he talked to apparently listened to what he was saying. And then we would want more of that in real life, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But yeah, his speech was just epic.
It was. I have a copy of it here if we want to read it out at all.
Go ahead.
Okay, he says, "You have to stop calling them terrorists. Your peacekeeping troops, carrying weapons, are forcing millions of people into settlements around the world, right? What do you think those people are going to call you? These labels, terrorists, refugees, thugs, they're often used to get around the question, why?" And the Senate replies, like, "Those settlements happened years ago. Do you think it's fair for governments to have to support that?" And Sam was like, "Yes." Senator replies and says, "The people who reappeared only to find someone else living in their family home, they just end up homeless? I get it, but you have no idea how complicated this situation is." And this is Sam. "You know what? You're right, and that's a good thing. We finally have a common struggle now. Think about that. For once, all the people who've been begging, and I mean literally begging for you to feel how hard any given day is, now you know. How did it feel to be helpless? If you can remember what it was like to be helpless and face a force so powerful it could erase half the planet, you wouldn't know that you were about to have the exact same impact. This isn't about easy decisions, Senator. I'm a black man carrying the stars and stripes. What don't I understand? Every time I pick this thing up, I know there are millions of people out there who are going to hate me for it. Even now, here, I feel it. The stares, the judgment, and there's nothing I can do to change it. And I'm still here. No super serum, no blonde hair or blue eyes. The only power I have is that I believe we can do better. We can't demand that people step up if we don't meet them halfway. You control the banks. Shit, you can move borders. You can knock down a forest with an email. You can feed a million people with a phone call. But the question is, who is in the room with you when you're making those decisions? Is it the people you're going to impact? Or is it just more people like you? I mean, this girl, Carly, died trying to stop you, and no one has stopped for one second to ask why. You've got to do better. You've got to step up, because if you don't, the next Carly will, and you don't want to see 2.0. People believed in her cause so much that they helped her defy the strongest governments in the world. Why do you think that is? A few people have just as much power as an insane god or misguided teenager. The question you have to ask yourself is, how are you going to use it?
Such a good speech.
And then Bucky is Bucky, and he comes up and he says, "Sorry, I was texting, and so all I heard was a black guy in stars and stripes. Nice job, Cap." Wonderful.
Yeah, I love Bucky. Bucky is just, I mean, also a very good looking man, like all the people in the Marvel universe, most of them at least.
But yeah. Like, that is easily, like, the site that I'm on, it calls it the most powerful speech in Marvel history, and I have to agree.
Yeah, that is true. It's really true. I do think they generally get more political with everything they put out, and I really love that.
Comics are political.
Yeah, yeah.
Comics have always been political.
But that doesn't mean that it always transfers into mainstream media the way Marvel does it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they do it more now because they can
It's moving with the media, the media consumption. It's moving with the times. It's talking about current issues. Like, it wouldn't make a lot of sense if, like, they were still talking about, you know, what happened in Marvel in the 1950s and 60s. Like, they're bringing it up to the modern political atmosphere and talking about it.
Yeah. We're here for it.
Yeah. So, yeah. I loved Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or should we say Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
I'm curious if that's what it's going to be called, or if there will be a movie. So we will see.
I don't know. We'll see. But they did, like, the last scene was Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, true. Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember now that you mentioned it again.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Captain America and Bucky Barnes, like, I don't know. I'm excited. I love these two. I want to see them in everything together. Please, thanks.
I mean, I'm also fine if the next thing that comes out is Loki, which I think it is, because I'm hardcore waiting for Loki. Can't even. Tom Hiddleston as Loki is just one of my absolute favorites, and also one of the reasons I like Thor so, the Thor movies so much, because Loki is just amazing.
Yeah,
big fan.
We'll be recording that episode on July 20th, so mark your diaries. I've already got that one planned. Yeah, so after talking about it all, Monica, do you have any different feelings, or is it still like it was fine?
No, I mean, I did see all the political moments in that too, and I'm not saying it was something that I didn't want to, wouldn't. I really struggle, number one, with having these weekly episodes. I'm a binger, I need to binge shit, and it's difficult. So I think that that's also where I like missed three of the connections. Anyway, to your question, I didn't think that. I loved all the political statements, obviously. There are a few things that I can harder relate to because it's not... where I see when you talk about it that you have a different connection to it because of your experience and your history with all of that, which we here in Austria don't have. Like, we don't have veterans coming back from war. That is, like, 70 years ago. There are, of course, people who've been in war, in Kosovo war, but not to a degree that we talk about in the US or in Canada, for example. So those are things that I see, but they don't touch me to a degree as they touch you, because I have like zero comparison with it, because that's just not part of the story that it is part of our history, but not to the degree as it is in the US, obviously, because of how many wars we have participated in after the one that's been lost for so long, so a good while ago. So that's just not part of that's something that I see, but because of the fact that I have no connection with it in a way that others have, that's where I was like, oh yeah, okay, I see that, and it's tragic, but yeah. And other things are just really, I totally acknowledge that they're super important, that they've been discussed at all and shown at all, and I think it's really, and that's why I say it, so that's what we've always said that everybody just treats all these movies and all media as a form of something that's not political or something that's not educational, and it's not the case. And I think that one is just again a proof of how much it's not the case that TV and movies and entertainment and media is not political, because it really, really is. And it's getting more like that every year. It's just when you watch. And I come back to Grey's Anatomy because that's what I always do. When you compare the first season from 17 years ago to the stuff they put out now, like, they are talking about shit in a way that they have never talked about shit before. And I feel you see that too with the Marvel stuff that they put out now. Even all the MCU universe that we saw until now was not as political as the shit they put out right now. So that's just something to... That's something I really, really appreciate. And that still doesn't make this series like one of the absolute... It was great. Is it one that I will watch over and over again? Probably not. Is it something that I will need to watch again because I probably like missed a lot of stuff? Yes. I don't like it better or worse than WandaVision for reasons I can't yet scale. Like, I feel I need to watch all of it, all of what's coming now, to then put it for me on a scale, because I'm also now getting used to this seasonal Marvel series situation that we haven't had before too. So I feel it's just something that, yeah, is new. So I can't, like, I'm not saying it's the shittest season or something that's so bad that I will never watch it again. It's also not the absolute best thing I've ever seen, so it's somewhere in the middle.
That's fair. I was just curious if, like, because I know a lot of the time for me talking about something, I either, like, I solidify an opinion if I'm like, yeah, it was meh. I either go, like, after talking about it, it was fucking amazing, or actually I really hated that.
Yeah, but you're also talking stuff out. Like, you're processing things by talking it out, and I don't.
That's true.
So...
That's true. That was our episode this week.
Yay.
Yay. Thanks for being here with us. And we want to know what you think about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So let us know in the comments of wherever you see this episode. Email us, or like, we're on social media, Geek Herring everywhere, or you can email us at hi@geekherring.com, or why not come join our Discord at geekherring.com/Discord. We'd love to talk shit and also about this with you. Not just shit, about serious things as well. So that's it for this week. We will see you again next week for another amazing episode of Geek Herring.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.